Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Benita Applewhite, and I'm coming to you this morning with great news. I want to share with you that your life matters. This show, Ask Dr. Applewhite Radio Talk Show, is brought to you by White Apple Institute. The students and staff at White Apple Institute help us put together the show, and they take care of all of the operations and, you know, getting guests and just letting people know that the show is available to inspire. I guess that's the most important thing about this show, is that it seems to inspire many, many people. And they call in with different ideas and stories that they want to share, and or they write in, and it's so much appreciated. To keep our show operating, we ask that you go to visit whiteappleinstitute.org, and there you can listen to a show. You can click on a show there, or you can, of course, make a donation. They help us with our operating costs. $5 or more every month will help keep us going. Give up one cup of coffee, okay? Anyway, it's just so wonderful to know that the switchboard is lighting up and there are people out there that are listening to the show today. They want to hear about this question that's been asked over and over again. And it came up quite frequently in the last, the last year. Well, the question is, do disabled lives matter? Does my life matter? And whenever anyone asks me that question, the major thing that I want to do is ask them, does it matter to you? Because, you see, we can't start with how life matters to other people, how our life matters to other people. It's got to start within us. So I'll talk about that in a little bit more. But we know that lately we've been hearing a lot on the news, protesters chanting out Black Lives Matter. And Black lives absolutely do matter. Yes, they do. As a Black woman, as a person with disability, and as a veteran, I say to you that my life matters and your life matters. In the interest of humanity, and that's what we're all about at White Apple Institute, we're all humanitarians and we care about what happens to people, especially those that have bought into the label of disabled and do not understand that they can be productive in this life and actually do something. And so that's our goal. But it's not that we're ignoring the injustices that African Americans and other minorities, specifically those with disabilities, have to deal with on a regular basis. The injustices are just unbelievable in this day and age. But they're there. And they come from a long, painful past. And I guess that's really, when I say past, it always kind of makes me jitter a little bit because, you know, one of the things that we don't want to do is get to the point where we're always focused on the past. The past has many lessons for us so that we will repeat, okay, the mistakes, if you will. But if we learn from them and we start really looking at solutions to any of our problems, especially the one we're dealing with for this show, about whether or not your life matters, disabled or not disabled, or able-bodied, okay? Because I think if you really look around, I don't think there's a perfect body. Everybody has some kind of disability. Well, without further ado, I just want to welcome everybody, and this will be an open switchboard situation where people will come in and talk, and I'll try to do my best to be a good operator here. I don't have a technical producer this morning, so you're going to have to bear with my struggle for technology. But we'll do the best we can to bring out the emphasis of the show and encourage everyone that listens, everyone you share this show with, to focus on the solution. And so that's what we hope we come up with today. When you hear some of the inspiring stories from some of the women and veterans that are coming on this morning, and also we have a guest coming on from Independent Living, and they're going to talk about how they've gone through tremendous trauma, but something in the trauma made them believe that their lives really matter. So without further ado, I believe we have one of our guests online right now, and I will ask, hello, is this Thomas?
Yes.
Hello, Thomas.
Yeah, how you doing?
Great. I was hoping that you'd join us this morning. You're over there in Washington, D.C., is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
right. Right. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Thomas. I asked you to come on the show and talk about your work with the Independent Living Movement. That's where you and I know each other from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, and then I'd like to go into how you feel that the Independent Living Movement has helped you see that your life matters.
Well, I've been with the State Line Independent Living for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we try to help people live independently, you know,
mm-hmm.
by what have you, by helping them get homes and whatnot, if we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, they have taught me on my value in life, what have you, because,
mm-hmm.
Like growing up with a disability and stuff like that, a lot of times people do not put you on the same level that they might put your brothers or sisters on. So,
like equal value? Is that what you're saying? They don't see you as equally as important as they are.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, been on the committee, what have you, and getting my own house and stuff like that, a lot of people thought I was just going to be living with my parents all my life,
mm-hmm.
what have you. So they were shocked when I was able to get my own home,
mm-hmm.
what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So living independently have brought great joys, and other things have came along with it, what have you, because I am a person in a wheelchair. And I live here in Washington.
Tell us a little bit about that, Thomas. Maybe that will inspire others listening to the show about, you know, how when you talk about how you moved from your parents, and that many people, because one of the things I do like to expand on is that there really isn't a they. The they is only what we create, because
right.
there are a lot of people that do believe in you, and certainly we do
mm-hmm.
here at White Apple Institute. You
yeah.
have helped us to change the perception of disabled to differently able, and we appreciate you. So tell the audience a little bit about your transition from being dependent somewhat on your parents and then becoming an independent living person. And if you don't mind, just talking a little bit about your disability so that others can relate a little bit more.
Okay. Well, when I first moved away from home, I moved into an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good friend of mine told me about this program to get
mm-hmm.
people in their own homes, the Home Your Own
mm-hmm.
program.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Salon. She told me about it. And then she didn't think I was serious when I said, yes, I want to get my own home. 2 weeks later, I told her, I went to her, I said, what's the spot, the Home of Your Own program? It was set up to get people with disabilities to have some ownership in various areas. Like maybe if they didn't want to buy a home, purchase land, buy land or what have you. So they helped me get my own home. They helped some people get apartments, but it wasn't really set up for that. It was set up to show people in the so-called disability, you know, so-called community of able-bodied people, that disabled people can have their own home. So I got my own home, what have you, and, like, at the job that I was at, it was several people there that was jealous of me. They said I got paid too much because I got my own home, because that was the view of most people, that when they look at somebody who's disabled, that they should not have what they have.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to come back to that in just a moment. What I would like you to do is, because I need to expand on the concept of disabled here, because, you know, as I said a little earlier in the show, I've never met a perfect person. Everyone has some kind of this in their ability.
Right.
But what defines people like ourselves is that we are still productive human beings. We can still do things. We can go to school and we can help in the community and we can do all kinds of things like that. We just have to do them within limitations of our physical bodies and sometimes even our mental state. And so disabled, when you talk about disabled versus the able-bodied, what you're talking about is someone like yourself who's not able to work a full-time job, but you do so many other things, though, Thomas, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What do you do? What do you do in the community? Because I know you went to school. You're tempted to go to school, and you've done great with your life, just even joining the independent living movement and being very involved in that. Is that what makes your life matter?
Yeah, and, like, that makes my life matter because it shows people in the disability community that although they might get told, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, because it's very rare when we get told what we can do. So when people see us doing stuff, it gives them the encouragement to do it themselves and help themselves and help their family out in the process of doing so. So it creates a whole lot of positive things going around everywhere when people see that because we might have a disability, we might have to do things in a different way, but we can do them or what have you.
Right.
So by me going out there and I speak at different hearings, I talk for people that might have stuttering problems or whatnot. They'll come to me, and then we might take maybe hours for them to get out what they want to get out, because you know when you go to the hearings, you only got like 3 to 5 minutes to say something.
Yeah.
So I help people. I help people of all kinds. I have helped the Federation for the Blind when it comes to their marches or what have you. You know, I will have one person on the right side of my chair, another person on the left side of my chair, and the marches and what have you. So I have done that, but not lately with them. They probably be calling me for some more help later on.
Yes. Let me ask you this, though, Thomas. When you're talking to another person who needs to understand, because one of the questions that started this whole discussion was the student making a statement that my life doesn't matter because I can't deal with the pain and the stress and the label of disabled, basically. That's what this person is saying. And so now here you are unfortunately, we use the label of disabled, and we have to. We can't get rid of the label because we use it to categorize. We need it for insurance, medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what we're trying to do is change the perception, and obviously, with all the things that you've done in the community, you have changed your perception of looking at yourself as a disabled, and I'll even say disabled black man, into today's society. And so what do you think has really made the most impact in you changing your perception of disabled and knowing that your life matters?
Well, what helped me in a process of being with the statewide independent living and living my life independently, I know my life matters just like everybody else. I do not feel like that somebody is better than me because they don't have a learning disability or they're not physically disabled or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that people know that my life matters just as much as yours. So
mm-hmm.
I don't beg for acceptance. I don't do things that I used to do when I was growing up to try to get people to accept me or what have
mm-hmm.
you. A lot of things that I did was when people did notice me, it was negative attention, but still it was attention that people
yeah.
gave me.
But
yeah. I had to do a whole lot of stuff or what have you. So to start to get noticed, because the only time people noticed me is when they wanted me to do something for them. And
mm-hmm.
when I wasn't doing anything for them, they was noticing my brothers and everybody else in my family,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
not me. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I had to be outrageous sometimes to get noticed. But I don't feel like I have to do that now.
All right. And thank you, Thomas. One of the things I do want to encourage you to do, and this will be in our, it's been in our many conversations, is
yeah.
that you start to matter for yourself first. That's,
oh, yeah.
that's the whole thing. That's the whole key. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if
yeah,
you don't
so
look in the mirror and see that you matter, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any difference whether anybody else sees you as someone who matters or someone who's valuable.
Right. Because like I do know that I matter, and I matter to myself. Well, I have you a great deal because like, if I didn't. With the people that have been around me, and some of them have been quite negative, if I measured my life by them, I probably wouldn't be here, and I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
So
my life matters to me because I build up some strength, what have you. I'm not begging for acceptance like I was before.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my life matters as much as somebody else's life do, or what have
mm-hmm.
you. So I tell people, you either accept me for who I am, my learning disability, my physical disability, me as a person, how I think, or you don't accept me at all. So you don't
there
accept
you
me at all, fine.
There's
a problem with that. You know, you go about your business, I go about mine. But you is not going to try to make me into a mini-me, try to make me into you, because
that's
you
right.
think you're better than me, so you think I should follow behind you. I'm not trying to be a mini-me of anybody else. I love me. I am fabulous.
There you go, Thomas.
I am sexy. I am
mm-hmm.
smart. I don't need to be a mini-me of anyone else.
Wow, mini-me. Wow.
Right.
I think that we need to adopt that philosophy, Thomas. I'm going to have you hold on for a minute, and I'm going to come back to you in a minute to get your opinion, your feelings about, or any questions you may have for me on Black Lives Matter and how that fits into Disabled Lives Matter and that all lives matter. Okay, so I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. We have a few other people on the switchboard that are asking for a time to come on board and speak. And what I'd like you to do is make sure that you press 1 on your dial if you'd like to speak to me. If you have a question or comment, please press 1 so I can pick you up here. That'll help me with the switchboard. operation. Okay, we have another caller online. We have a question for Dr. Applewhite. Ask me. Hello there, 605.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Applewhite. This is John.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope that you heard that wonderful young man that was just on there. He's still online right now from the Independent Living Movement. And you say your name is John. I would love for you to talk a little bit about or ask any question that you have about Do Disabled Lives Matter?
Yes, Thomas, I commend you for your perseverance and courage to address the challenges that you have faced, and congratulate you on succeeding and overcoming them and being a whole person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you.
The youth differently abled, but Dr. Applewhite, like you said, insurance companies and the outside world use the term disabled.
Mm-hmm.
We're still gonna. I'm disabled. I'm differently abled also. I have vision challenges. But what I did was, all right, everybody else can call me what they want, but I know I'm not disabled. I'm just differently able.
There you go.
I can't do things the way most people do them, but I can think of ways to get the job done. And the adults are still the same. So,
may I ask you a question? Okay, everyone calls me. I want to ask Dr. Applewhite questions. I want to ask you a question too. Okay, and I asked Thomas this. What do you think is the major point in your life that allowed you or motivated you to look at yourself in the mirror and really believe that your life matters? Okay, now you said that you live as a disabled person, but you also live as a differently abled person. So I appreciate you saying that. But what do you think are the things that really make the difference? And can you share that so we can inspire others?
Well, in my case, I was in a situation that I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have, at one time, I did not have anybody to assist me or that I could rely on. And I had to get up and start doing things for myself, figuring out different ways to do things with my vision impairment. And it just kind of grew from there. But I would suggest to people that, you know, you're disabled. The word disabled means it doesn't work. But we're still working. We're still breathing. We're still thinking. We're still moving around. So we're not disabled.
And still productive.
It just means that we have a challenge in front of us, and if we want to live life, we have to meet that challenge and figure out a way of overcoming it.
Now, you know that there's a lot of people out there that you've probably been exposed to, you've probably heard about that, when they see themselves as disabled, they usually adopt an attitude of they can't be productive, they can't work, they can't make their lives matter, and that they are going to be dependent on other people. And unfortunately, our dictionaries, when you look up the word disabled, even reinforce that. We've got to find a way to change that the terminology of disabled being someone who can't work or produce, because that is totally not true. It's just producing and working and going to school at different levels than other people, differently than other people. And
right.
So for you, back to my question again, what do you feel has truly made the difference for you? I hear you saying that you're knowing that you had to get up and do things for yourself. I heard that. But is there anything spiritual? And I'd like Thomas, if you feel comfortable, Thomas, to elaborate a little bit on that after John talks a little bit about his feelings.
Okay, sure.
Well, yeah, I've always been a spiritual person. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality. And I just started relying on my spiritual guidance and picking out people that I knew were spiritual also and seeking their assistance. And it grew. And it continues to grow even after all these years. But I just had to put my faith in my belief of a higher power, who I choose to call God. And over time,
a little clearer. We need your voice to come through a little clearer there, if you don't mind, John.
Okay.
Do what?
Yes, that better. That's better.
Okay. Over time, it grew and grew and grew. And there were a number of times that, you know, I didn't know why things happened. But I just asked my spiritual being, my God, to give me the strength to accept things, to accept people as they are, and not try to change them to benefit myself, because
that's right.
I was seeing how people were trying to change and mold me into something that they wanted me to be.
Right. The conformity.
And
one of the things I think that people like us, what we do to ourselves is we actually become nonconformists. Because if we adopt that disabled mentality and believe that we cannot be productive citizens, that we believe we can't go to work and can't go to school, that in that we give up. And we're different. We do not conform to that philosophy. And I congratulate you. I congratulate you, Thomas. Thomas, do you think that there's anything else that you want to share about what made the shift for you happen? I mean, I hear that you were able to get a house and have some ownership, and I know that you're involved in the community, but was there anything else like a spiritual connection that really lets you know that your life matters?
In school, for one thing, when I started with the Kennedy Institute, They had us at a college campus, and we started our own student union body. When we went down with Capital University, let us use their campus for statewide independent living. It was our adult learning class, what have you. When I started over there, and I started to be around other people that was living on their own, doing stuff for themselves, what have you, and then start to really speak out, because Project Action is an extension of what was started at Capital University. I was president for many years, so I learned to speak. I learned to model myself behind others that was doing great work in the disability community. Because I wound up going to conventions. I wound up seeing people that did matter and it was making a great difference in their lives as well as their family lives. And then some people had children what have you. They was actually raising children and what have you, and they had disabilities because when I was growing up, that was not a thing that was accepted. It wasn't accepted for us to have a disability and raise a family at the same time.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
So the more I became a part of the movement of fighting for equal rights, fighting for the rights on the job and various different things in life, I wound up gaining great pride and great respect for myself. That's the reason why I say I don't have to be a mini-me of anyone else. All I have to do is just be myself. And then
and you know,
4 years is, if it's not, it's not.
Right. You have truly, truly inspired us, and I really appreciate everything that you said, because I think bottom line that I'm getting from both from you and Lewis, that, you know, from John there, that we are talking about looking at yourself first, okay, because that is the number one. You have to look at who you are and whether or not you matter to yourself, and then you can start getting involved with other things. And that looks like that is really what keeps it, that made the shift for you when you started helping other people. And it seems like it's maintaining your attitude. You're growing, and you're even more encouraging now than you were before. I commend you for that. Gandhi said something, and I truly live by this, is that we find ourselves by serving others. Because the more we get involved with serving others, we have a chance to really look at our own humanity, our own self.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that, and I hope that you both and other callers that are calling in here, again, press 1 if you wish to speak with the with me. One of the things I want to do before I pull on the next person here is I want to hear what you have to say about the new protesters that are going out with Black Lives Matter. I would like to elaborate a little bit on that. That's it's a beautiful statement. There's 3 women, I believe, that started the movement of Black Lives Matter in response to the injustices that were going on. And that's what kind of inspired this show and some of the things that students are saying about Do Disabled Lives Matter. What do you see? Do you see the similarity, Thomas, as a Black man, as a disabled man yourself? Do you see the association between Black Lives Matter and Disabled Lives Matter?
Yes, it's a lot of similarities. It's like when you're Black and what have you, you got some people in the world that think that Black people can't do as well as others or what have you. And then when you got disability, it shines an even bigger light on you as a Black person, what have you, trying to take care of yourself, trying to take care of your family, and trying to make an impact in life. So it does have a lot of similarities on your life and other people's lives that's around you as a whole.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And one of the things that I'd like to bring out too is the thing about with my students for over 40 years now, I have discussed, you know, this issue of what matters in your life and what makes your life valuable. And so many times when we talk about, you know, how a person looks, how much money they have, and when you take away, especially the money issue, when you take away the money issue, what value do you find in yourself? And that's what I ask our listeners to think about for a moment. Taking money totally out of the picture, taking career, job, everything out of the picture, what do you feel that you are a valuable human being? What makes you feel like you're a valuable human being? Because if you don't feel it within yourself, it's not going to happen. Waiting for others to validate you, to make you feel better, it's not going to happen like that. It's going to happen when you decide that I matter. Mm-hmm. Did that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yes.
And as a black woman myself, and as a matter of fact, mixed heritage, Hispanic, black, and even Native American, I find myself very, very pushed to get that word out that all lives matter, and not to ignore the injustices that are happening, especially with African Americans, especially in the media today. But all over the world, we have people, especially those with disabilities, who are being taken advantage of, who are not able to advance and get opportunities like you were talking about a moment ago, and they're not able to expand in that way. John, are you still there online? I don't know if I'm still there online. Okay. All right. Anything you want to add to that as we close? Because I'm going to bring on another caller.
I agree with what Thomas was saying, and I agree with what you're saying, that it has to be within yourself. Each and every person, including myself, had to find their own self-worth and rebuild my self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
My self-esteem had gotten shot down real low. And I, over a period of time, I had to rebuild that self-esteem. And whatever you do, whatever I do, it has to be, like you said, in my heart first, and then my mind, and then outward to the people. And there's been times when I didn't have any money at all, and I still considered myself a very rich man, because I had friends, I had supporters, and I had good self-worth.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. I do want, I didn't announce earlier that our chat line is open. And so for those of you who wish to chat by typing in your responses online, feel free to do that. I am looking at some questions right now. Before I get to them, I do want to remind you that this show is totally funded by your donation of $5 or more per month at whiteappleinstitute.org, or you can make a one-time donation and help us support what we're doing to help adult learners and veterans with disabilities to succeed in higher education and in the workforce. I want you to join us. Join the challenge. Accept the challenge to change the perception of disabled to differently abled. So I ask you to please visit www.whiteappleinstitute.org and click on that donate button, and also share our website with others so that they can also listen to the show. Click on radio and you can listen to the show right from that website. Okay, we have another caller online right now, and I want to go ahead and take that person in. Hello, how are you? Looks like a 602 number. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Good morning.
This is Mitchell Cavanis. I am the co-producer of the vet program.
Yes,
and
you
I'd
are.
Just like to say this morning's show is very enlightening. And thank you, Thomas, for giving us a new insight and perspective. And I'd just like to say that when we go to get our benefits, there are criteria that we have to meet to get our benefits. And some of those criteria specify that we are disabled. We cannot do this, we cannot do that. But, okay, we have to accept what they want us to accept on paper. But mentally, for me, I was very able-bodied before I became disabled. So I had no problem with my self-worth, which I know a lot of people are not in my position. I had no problem with my self-esteem, but I was put in a position where I was made to feel like I was less than. and I knew who I was, and I let no one. It says in the Bible, and this is one of my favorite things spiritually that keeps me lifted up, is let no one steal your joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my saving grace spiritually right there. I was not going to let anyone tell me that what I could not do. I'm a nonconformist. I like to specify myself that way, because I run into people and they're like, oh, you're disabled. And I said, yeah, and you are too. And how do you figure that? I says, well, I'm a sculptor and I'm blind. Can you create artwork? No. Well, then you're disabled. You are artistically disabled.
Oh, turn that back around.
So I like to let them know that I am differently abled in the fact that I may not create sculpture the same way Michelangelo did. I may not do it like Lacasso or Brancusi, but I can get the same results from my efforts. And no one's efforts is considered to me to be disabled. That just means that you do not conform to what society looks at you to be. You have a different way of doing things.
There you go. There you go. And I hope that we can continue to push that message out there. I want everyone to know that Mitch Cavaniss is, when we talked about earlier how you find yourself in helping others, one of the things that he does as co-producer of Vet to Vet Talk, and that will be coming up towards the end of our show, Mitch and other veterans will be joining and discussing some of the issues of how their lives began to matter. But for right now, what I want you to understand is that it's so important for you to hear what he's saying about being a person with visual impairment or blind or in any form where you're in a chair or not in a chair. And let's remember that most disabled persons, okay, persons with disability are those that are not in wheelchairs. They don't have visible disabilities, okay? So they're sitting at the job, many of them, and in our homes, and we look at them and we say, you're not really disabled, but they may have issues going on with them that inhibit them from doing certain things the same way as the so-called norm will do it, like Mitch was saying. But look what he has accomplished. And if you want to know more about him, he has and his sculpturing work. Please go to, what is it, MitchCavaniss.com? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
MitchellCavanissSculptures.com.
MitchellCavanissSculptures.com. I think we better spell that MitchellC.
Correct.
Like Charlie, AdinEss. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And of course, you can always connect with Mitchell through White Apple Institute by just going on our website and filling out a contact us form, and he'll be glad to get back to you. If you know anyone who would like to speak to him more about the sensitivity that he has created in his life, not to only help himself and to see that his life matters, but he is helping others to see that their lives matter too. Thank you so much, Mitch. We have another caller online. I think this is a California number. I'm going to go ahead and take this. Hold on to your thoughts there. Hello there. You're joining Dr. Applewhite. This is Ask Dr. Applewhite Radio Talk Show. How are you this morning, 209?
Hello, Dr. Applewhite. This is Kim, one of the board members.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for this show, and this show is such an awesome show. I don't think I have too many words to say to follow Mitch, but I'm so happy to hear the previous caller and how he's discussing his ability versus his disability. So I just want to chime in and say, awesome, awesome show.
Well, you know, I don't want you to get off the phone real quick. I know sometimes you're calling in and you're busy lady. You've got a group homes that you're trying to run, and you work with people with disabilities on an everyday level, 24/7. What I would like to know from you is you've been listening to the show, And, you know, I talked about Black Lives Matter, and I talk about the fact that all lives matter, disabled lives matter, veterans lives matter. What do you, how do you help the clientele that you work with to understand that their life matters? What are some of the tips that you could share with people about how to make that shift happen with it?
Well, some of the things we do here in our adult care home that we have, because we service adults, is we really teach them that they can, you know, and there's no I can't, you know, and that's an old mm-hmm. phrase, you know, that we've had from mm-hmm. years of never say you can't, say you can. And mm-hmm. the greatest thing we see is once they see they can do it, they'll fail at it a couple of times, and we cheer them on regardless. So those are a lot mm-hmm. of the things we do. We cheer you on. We keep them positive, even if they have attitudes, because we know God, at some point, there is spirituality, you know, and even our mm-hmm. able bodies have spirituality, you know, and that's a mm-hmm. big factor in pushing us sometimes. And like the previous caller said, that's what's helped me stay afloat, you know. So a lot of our clients, we begin to tap in and see they actually have a little spirituality at them, you know, mm-hmm. about them. And so we start to look at that and say, okay, if God says you can try, then you can try. So trying is keywords we use, and you can do it is keywords, and there's no failure in your ability. You know, we have some clients that can't even speak that actually talk mm-hmm. now. So then the reward of it is, hey, look at what you really did, you know, mm-hmm. and we continue to emphasize not what you can't do. We continue to emphasize what you can do, even if it's just tying your shoe. You know, if that's
and
all you could have gotten out that day.
We miss that a lot, and I hope that in some way when we have employers and educators that listen to this show, that in some way they grasp that concept of actually, I guess, honoring or at least acknowledging when a person is doing something, even at whatever level of productivity it is, okay, even if it's a small thing, that sometimes that's the key to helping someone to make that shift. Okay, in mm-hmm. saying my life matters now. Because I don't know if you heard earlier that the biggest question that comes in a lot and a statement that was made that even started this whole show was someone saying my life doesn't really matter because I have to deal with so much pain and so much, so many issues as a disabled person. I don't feel valuable. And I had to mm-hmm. go back for a moment, and I just want to share this quick story with you of the factor that when you're on an airplane, one of the things that's very important is the flight attendant gets up in front of you and starts talking about the oxygen mask that must fall down if there's a drop in oxygen in the plane. And one of the things that's real important to understand is that we're always thinking of our loved ones next to us, okay, and mm-hmm. thinking that we need to put the mask, the oxygen mask on them first. Okay, but actually the best way to save someone else is to put the oxygen mask on yourself first, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very tough concept for a lot of people, is that you mean I have to take care of myself first? Yes, because that's the only way that you have enough oxygen and strength to deal with the other person next to you, your loved one, fighting for air. Because if both of you are fighting for air, it's a lose-lose situation. So I hope you enjoy that example that I gave you about the factor that going back to that first discussion, that the only way that your life is going to matter is if you feel that your life matters. And I guess that's what I felt, and Kim, you can elaborate a little bit more on this. That's what I felt when I heard the statement, Black Lives Matter, even though I appreciate what that means and the injustices that caused that statement to come up. I couldn't help but feel that not only do Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. And I don't want anyone to get upset with me because I'm not harboring on the past issues. I'm trying to move forward and bring out some solutions. What do you think about that, the association between Black Lives Matter and Disabled Lives Matter?
Well, I think it's just highlighting that all lives really do matter. You know, in our country, we want to coin phrases constantly, but these things that are going on in our country have always gone on, and, you know, lives have always mattered since the beginning of time. And I just, I agree with you. I hope that most people understand, let's not make this a fad, and let's make it a truth. All lives matter. And hopefully all the listeners that you join in on our show weekly or you podcast the show, don't take the show and think that, you know, just like Dr. Applewhite said, we're focusing on one group of people. Even God knows all of us matter. The question is, do you, the listener, know that you matter? That's the question.
And
you have to know
that
you matter.
Right. And that doesn't, you know, our show is not focused on any particular religion. What we do focus on the fact that by whatever name that you may call God, whether you're Islamic or Christian or Buddhist or whatever, you need to understand that your life matters and that your relationship with whoever, whatever you call God is going to be the key to making that shift happen where you can see yourself as valuable. Any other comments? Mitch, you have another call? Oh, I'm sorry. I have another caller here. Let me take that caller in real quick. And I want you guys to really stay tuned because we've got a couple of things coming up here. We've got the vet-to-vet talk that will be coming up in just a moment, some announcements and some great stuff that will be shared. And we also have some healthy tips and legal advocacy issues that we want to share with you that actually talk about whether all lives matter, and especially disabled lives matter in this case. I'll bring on this caller. Is a 602-741. Is that you, Lenore Arnold?
Yes.
Oh, great. I thought I saw your number there, and I wanted to make sure that I got the right person. And I know you have some things to share with our listeners today. Let's start with any tips that you have to help us to make sure that we stay, keep our mental health very, very stable.
Well, in order for us to do that, of course, we've been keeping a healthy body and healthy mind. I have eight lifestyle tips I'd like to share to help protect against dementia and also Alzheimer's disease. And number one is stay physically active. And two is to challenge your mind. Our third one is to eat a diet abundant in fruits and vegetables. And four is to control blood pressure. Five, we maintain normal blood sugar levels. And six, keep cholesterol in check. Seven, we want to take depression seriously. And eight, we want to stay connected with friends and family.
Wow.
And so, and so keeping these, our body healthy, our mind has to constantly be there.
That's right.
And a healthy
brain
really depends on a healthy body.
Yeah, it does. It does a bit. And all of that, when we talk about, just going back to our topic for today, when we talk about how does your life matter, if you don't feel your life is valuable enough and matters enough for you to do the things that you just talked about, to eat the right foods, to take care of your body in every way that you can, then you're hurting yourself. You're really hurting yourself, and you're not realizing what a beautiful person you are. You know, I don't know if you remember, Marianne Williamson, and Nelson Mandela quoted this speech a lot. Marianne Williamson talked about our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we may indeed be powerful. We are indeed powerful beyond measure. And
yes,
I think that a lot
so
of us
true.
Are afraid to acknowledge that we have the power within us to change our value system about ourselves. And then and only then can we begin to impact and influence others to do the same, even our own children or our family members. We can't do it until we start changing ourselves.
We must do that first. Exactly.
Yes.
I do agree.
So, Thomas, you have any comment on that, Thomas?
Yes, I totally agree that you do have to look at yourself. You do have to sit and think about all the things that you have done in life, all the times people told you that you couldn't do, but you did do, and look at that and know that you are perfect than imperfect, Because like, mm-hmm. nobody's perfect, but you are perfect as who you are, as an individual. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like gain some pride and self-esteem in that, because you look for others to give you that pride, and especially mm-hmm. when they're looking at your disability as being something that's very negative and very bad or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
If you look towards others that's looking at you like that, you ain't gonna never have any pride in yourself. So you got to think about or write down things that you know that you have achieved in life, people
mm-hmm.
that you have talked to and you have helped them live better lives as well as you living a better life. So you got to think about your value to you
mm-hmm.
personally, and that way you can free yourself being held down by what others might think and what others might want you to be.
Thank you, Thomas, because that's mm-hmm. so important to do that valuable. And Mitch, was that you?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd just like to say that spiritually for me, I know that God did not put me here on earth to be a victim. He put me here to be a victor. And
oh, wow.
I keep that in my mm-hmm. in my personal data bank, in my computer that's stored between my two ears. And I like to go back to that and not let anyone steal my joy, because,
mm-hmm.
like I said before, you can look around. Even the president has a disability,
mm-hmm.
and we might not see it, but there are things that he cannot do. I'll grant you that he cannot pick up a piece of wood and turn it into a piece of artwork. So to me, he is as visually impaired as I am, because
right.
he can't see the worth in a piece of wood. Just like
yeah.
people pass me by and they can't see my worth, but I know
mm-hmm.
how worthy and how productive I am. So I don't have to worry about what anybody's opinion of me is, because my opinion of myself is of high esteem. And then we have to keep ourselves in high esteem. Wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, tell yourself, I am a gorgeous woman, I am a handsome man, and today is the day that I'm going to accomplish something that no one else has done. I don't care if it's
there
nothing but like what Kim said, tie in your shoe. That is a great accomplishment for many.
There you go, Mitch. There you go. Thank you so much for saying that. And I have something else I wanted to get back to in a moment with Lenora, some legal issues. But I just, again, I want to thank you so much for bringing that out, that everyone has some dis in one or more of their abilities. But that doesn't necessarily make you put you in the category of disabled. They have some guidelines on that in our world, in our systems, our government systems. But what I hope that we do at White Apple Institute, and Mitch, you can elaborate a little bit more on how we do this at White Apple Institute, but that we encourage people to look at what they can do. And that's what we're trying to, that's what this radio show is all about, trying to reach out to people in the communities around the world and let them know that there's a chance that you can be productive. Look at what Mitch has done. Look at what Thomas has done. Look at what John. Look at all of the people that not only you hear on this the radio show here, but you look around in your community. Do you agree?
Yes, I'd just like to say that, you know, we all are given a gift, whether you have a dis in your ability or not. We all have
mm-hmm.
a gift to do something. Some of us can read. So that means that you have the opportunity to share what you know with someone else to teach them how to read. There's a lot of illiteracy
mm-hmm.
here in the United States. There's people who do not know how to cook. So you may
mm-hmm.
be one of the best cooks in the world. So what we like to say here at the White Apple Institute is we are here to help connect you to the resources to get you to the point where you can be independent.
when you become independent, as we are trying to get across to people, is that your self-esteem goes up. That's what Thomas just said. That's what John just said. And getting back to what Lenore was saying, keep yourself, I don't care if you have to pick up a can of beans and just exercise, move, get yourself motivated. Because when you become motivated, you can do anything you want. They say in the Bible that you have to have the faith of a mustard seed. So if anyone is dealing with a physical or a mental impairment, just have the faith of a mustard seed that you can. Because like what Ken was saying, in my family growing up, my father would tell us, you spell the last name C-A-V-I-N-E-S-S. And if you want to know what that means, it means there is not can't. Can't is not in the vocabulary of that last name. So I like
that. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. That's wonderful. And we're going to get back to Lenora for a moment. She has some legal tips to share with us. Want to let everybody know that Lenora is a paralegal, and she's our legal advocate advisor at White Apple Institute, and she does a great job with helping students with understanding the law and discrimination issues, and she doesn't know it, she'll research it, that's for sure. Lenora, I remember you said something about you wanted to talk a little bit when we talked about Disabled Lives Matter. One of the students had that we have talked about many, many times has said that I believe it was he didn't feel comfortable because saying that his life mattered or valuable because he had to give up guardian. He's not his own guardian. He doesn't take care of himself. His parents are his guardian, and he's 27 years old. And I thought you had something that you wanted to share on that today.
Well, actually, yes, I do. And guardianship is, you know, going on a lot with a lot of people that have to handle with the legal matter. And understanding that is very, very important with a lot of people because it takes a lot of self-esteem out of people. But you can still do for yourself, as Mitch was saying about the size of a mustard grain. And even if we do need our guardianship to be there for us and with us, we still can do. And what I wanted to share about that guardianship is very, very valuable, too. And that general information that we may need, it is a lot of different guardianships that we're talking about here. So it very matters with a lot of people. And for this legal advice, it is so much that I have here. And I just wanted to share, if anyone wanted any more information, they can get that information with my the legal guardianship through Legal Shield.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. When we talk about this guardianship, and I know I just want to let our listeners know that they can connect with you through White Apple Institute if they have any questions about how they can make their lives matter, even if someone else is taking care of you from a legal standpoint or a financial standpoint, your life still has value. We can still help you find that value, but you must take that first step. Back to that example, you must put the oxygen mask on yourself first, okay?
Yes.
And pick up the phone and call us at White Apple Institute, 480-471-8082, or definitely go to our website and hit that Contact Us button. And while you're there, don't forget to keep this show going. Your donation of $5 or more per month or a one-time donation will certainly help us to keep our operating costs up. So click on that donate button at whiteappleinstitute.org. Okay, Lenora, on that legal guardianship, I just wanted to define so that our listeners out there are very clear on what guardianship is.
Yeah.
Can we define that? I know it's something about it's a legal relationship, right?
Yes, it is a legal relationship. Someone that's honestly and that loves you, care for you, trust you, also will do anything for you is right there. That guardianship is very, very important. And adult guardianship is a legal process by which an individual assumes the role of the decision-making for an adult who becomes unable to make a decision for himself or herself, but that person is always there for them. And there are steps that they have to take in order for that to be legally for them.
And that's one. And actually, I think that I'm hearing you say it's a protection.
It's a legal plan.
It doesn't take away your value as a human being. You still can find value, and you still can look in the mirror at yourself. And as Mitch was kind of alluding to, you look in the mirror, not only are you going to say you're gorgeous, but that I matter, and I'm going to do something for somebody else that matters today too. So those are very good points. Yes.
Yeah,
without further ado, I want to. I'm sorry, Lenore. You had something else?
No, I was just thinking what Mitch was saying about that mustard seed that I was going to just ingrain on and let people know how small a mustard seed is and how big our hearts is and how big our minds is and our soul can handle that size.
Wow. Thank you for that. Any other comments before we open up for vet-to-vet talk with Mitch Cavanis? Any other comments from our open switchboard here? Anyone that wants to make a final comment on our discussion this morning?
The thing is do the things in life that makes you happy. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do the things in life that makes you happy. Whether or not it's going to the movies, whether or not it's going play basketball or whatever in life, do the things that make you happy, because you're going to have them times where you don't feel as good as you felt another day or what have you. So find the things in life that you know that make you happy and do them things, because you can't always depend on people talking to you to make you happy. So you got to do that for yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us as a representative for the Independent Living Council, for that movement of which I've been a part of for many, many years. And I really appreciate all of the workers all over the United States that are helping people to realize that their lives matter. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mitch Cavanis. He's going to share with us some vet-to-vet talk. What are the veterans talking about? What do they want to ask Dr. Applewhite, Mitch Cavanis?
Well, to start off with today, I'd like to do a few PSAs for veterans to let them know some numbers that they may not, or if they do not have these numbers. These are some numbers and some organizations I think that they should get involved with. The first is the DAV. The Phoenix number is 602-627-3286. And that's the Phoenix number. And the national...
And that's the DAV, that's the Disabled American Veterans Organization.
Right, that's the...
Right,
And the national... The National Disabled American Veterans number is 877. Matter of fact, if you don't have a pen and paper, please go get one, because these numbers and these organizations are organizations that can help you. The national number is 877-426-2838. That's the National American Veterans, Disabled American Veterans. And the VFW number here in Phoenix is 602-627-3316. And for those Vietnam vets out there, there's AMVET, which is 602-627-3276.
Now, let's define that a little bit for some of our listeners out there, especially because our show is for veterans and non-veterans. When you're talking about the AMVET, the American Veterans, the Vietnam Veterans, and then you're talking about, you mentioned another organization, and I didn't get that. VFW, I think you mentioned. The Veterans
of Foreign
War. Is that right? Okay, so we need to
Correct.
Define what that is for our listeners out there, because if you have anyone, and I guess the gist of all of this, Mitch, is that they need to contact us, and they need to ask, ask Mitch, about the vet-to-vet information when you connect with us at whiteappleinstitute.org. We thank you so
That's
much
correct,
for those announcements. I hope they got that pen and pencil out so they could write down the information or at least how to connect with us. And we do have a chat coming in right now. We've had a lot of shows on suicide issues. And lately, you noticed that there's been a lot of shows that have focused on the suicide issues that are going on with veterans. And we know that a lot of that is because they feel that their life doesn't matter anymore when they come home, especially when they come home with that label of disabled, and they've bought into that perception. And so if you have anything that you'd like to share to help our veterans out there to overcome the issues of feeling so depressed and even having suicidal thoughts, we'd love for you to share that. There's a crisis hotline number, and I'm not sure if you have that right accessible for you for us right now. Do you have that accessible? Or can you elaborate a little bit on this, on the issue of crisis line? Because I have the number right here, if you don't have it.
Are you speaking to me, Mitch?
Yes.
I have the number right away. But I will
I have it right here for you. I have the Veterans Crisis Hotline.
Okay. And any of these numbers that we are giving you now, if you did not get your pen and paper, you can always contact us at www.whiteappleinstitute.org, and we can give you this information. I don't feel as though that you have to write as fast as I speak, which I think that I speak very slowly, but... I have some information that is, they have a new, if you are a veteran, if you are a service connected, if you are in the military right now, the military has a new program called Transition, and they help mm-hmm. you to transition into a new job before mm-hmm. you, 4 months before you get out. And also at Grand Canyon University, on 3800 West Camelback Road, they're having a symposium there on May. Let me just put this on so I can see. It's May 1st, and they mm-hmm. are conducting a seminar for veterans, disabled veterans, to transition back into society, help them get jobs, how they're supposed to conduct themselves, because I know that when I got out of the military, I had a different jargon.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different speaking than most people were used to in society. Because mm-hmm. when you are in the military, you are very brash. You're very
Yes.
A belligerent, to make a long story
yes.
short. And this program is to help people transition back into society, because
mm-hmm.
it's like when you go to a new job, you have to transition
mm-hmm.
into that new job. You just can't go
mm-hmm.
in there thinking that you know everything. Every
mm-hmm.
company has a different way of doing things, and this program is to help people transition back into society, which I think is a very helpful thing coming from Grand Canyon University. There's a registration, and there's a phone number that you have to call, and it is, matter of fact, if you
Why don't we have them connect with us here on the show if they want more information on that, Mitch, if you don't have that number available. And let me just share real quickly the number for the Veterans Crisis Hotline for anyone who feels that their life does not matter. I want them to really feel comfortable if they're a veteran to call the Veterans Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. And if you miss that number, please make sure you connect with Mitch at the White Apple Institute, and he can give you more of that information, because that's a very, very worthy cause of helping people to know that their lives matter. And Mitch, all that stuff that you gave us, especially that the summary on what Grand Canyon University is doing, in other states, they have similar programs out there. And I know you encourage all of the veterans to really seek out the schools around them for resources. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes, because most schools across the United States, the issue of reintroducing our veterans to the workforce, socially, we are beginning to understand that the transition is a lot more difficult than people had thought mm-hmm. it was in the past. So schools across the nation are chipping in and starting to have programs similar to Grand Canyon. And another mm-hmm. number that I'd like to give is the Veterans of America's benefits number. Mm-hmm. This is a number that you should call because of the fact that a lot of veterans who are disabled or not disabled don't know what their benefits are. So mm-hmm. for your own, to make yourself more valuable to yourself, this is a number that I feel as though that helped me out, and I feel as though I can help others. The phone number is 1-800-827-1000.
All right.
And they can connect you with the benefits that you were think that you don't have, but you thought that you didn't have, but you may have. And I hope the gentleman is going to come on later. And he is with Veterans for Veterans. And
yes.
I really love to hear what he's
we
got.
We certainly
to say
appreciate that organization. Yes, yes. That's a great organization. A lot of work out there to do. And as a fellow veteran, I do want to put in a plug for the Women Veterans Organization, and making sure that we always acknowledge that a veteran is a veteran, no matter whether they're male or female. They are someone who puts on that uniform and fights for our country. And I'm proud to say that I wore that uniform. And I'm proud of the veterans that are online right now in our chat room and on our board, and those that will listen to the show, because you listeners out there are going to share that with others. We thank you so much for not only your service, but we thank our non-veterans for supporting us. Again, Mitch, you want to give that information about how they can support the show at White Apple Institute?
Yes, when you go to the www.whiteappleinstitute.org, please hit that donate button, because the donate button is for us to continue our work with disabled veterans and disabled students who are out there that feel like that they're not worthy and that they don't have anybody looking out for them. We want them mm-hmm. to know that the White Apple Institute is there for a hand up, not a hand out. We are there to support you and to give you the resources that you need to get you back to where you want to be. And I'd also
Go ahead, Mitch. Uh-huh.
I'd also like to put in a plug for the the paraplegic veterans of America, because we don't want to forget that.
You mean the paralyzed veterans of America?
The paralyzed veterans of America, because we don't want to forget that when you see the paralyzed veterans of America, that is saying that that person really did what the military oath says. They gave of themselves, which all of us did. But and also blind veterans of America. I'd like to put in a plug for them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And let us definitely give kudos to the Wounded Warrior Program. As a matter of fact, they've asked that White Apple Institute become part of fundraising at one of the golf tournaments coming up in May, and we'll have to announce that on our website. I don't have all the details for that. But our organization is out there to support other organizations also and make sure that we can offer the resources that are available in the community. And we appreciate everyone that's come on to the show this morning and been able to talk a little bit about not only what makes their lives matter and looking at the fact that we have to look at ourselves first before we can look at anyone else and help them to see that their life matters. But the bottom line in all of this, too, is that as students and teachers, and you know I always talk about being that eternal student and teacher, we don't have to be in a classroom in order to learn something. Where the life itself is a classroom. And we don't have to be in the front of a classroom as a teacher in order to be a teacher, because we're always sharing what we've learned. So we hope that you continue. We hope that you've learned something through the show and that you'll continue to be an eternal student and teacher, as I am myself. And I encourage you to call me, contact me, ask Dr. Applewhite about disability and whatever related issue there is so that you don't burn out and drop out from not only school and work, but from life. We thank you so much for being part of what we're doing here, and I will allow whoever is on open switchboard right now, if you'd like to say something in closing, you're welcome to do that.
Yes, Dr. Applewhite, it's John again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would just like to wish all the veterans out there, I would like to say to all the veterans out there, welcome home, and there's help out there, and we're all here to help you.
Yes.
And may each and every one of you have much happiness and good health.
And one of the things I hope, and thank you very much for that, John, I hope that people take with them that all lives matter. And that's what we believe. And we want you to adopt that philosophy and share that. Go out this week, and especially, you know, when you start your work week next week, look around at the people that are near you. Look around the people that are going to school with you and say to somebody, your life matters. Okay, you're a valuable human being. And ask them about themselves. Get to know people, especially if you see someone that gives you the impression that they may be buying into the label of disabled and not seeing themselves as productive human beings. Okay? Remember that you are loved, and the greatest gift is to love and to be loved. We now close our show with a reflection, sounds from Wes Ricks. Wes Ricks is a veteran who has been very, very helpful in bringing his music to veterans and non-veterans out there too, so that they can get into a meditative state. And so we appreciate sharing his music. We also appreciate Nazim Rashid, Reconnected show that follows the Ask Dr. Applewhite talk show on Blog Talk Radio. So we acknowledge Nazim Rashid for that great music at the opening. And we close now with knowing that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Yep.
accept the challenge to change the perception of disabled to visually able. White signing out. Much loving.